affinity with animals, and I think that whether it be with horses or whether it be with any sort of stock, then you've either got it or you haven't. I think that you will have people that will see a yard of horses, or they'll see a yard of any sort of stock, and they will know if something's up with one of them without actually having to go in and look. They're just that sixth sense, something's wrong here. You'll get another guy, well, he'd go in the yard, and if one had lost the leg, he wouldn't notice. The chap who taught me what little I know about showing horses, he always kept lots of things close to his chest, and because when you go out there, you're competing against all the others. You want to look better than the others. You want the animal to be fitter than the others. So, of course, there's common ground between you. But then on the other hand, there's little secrets and little bits that you just want to keep to yourself, because you want that edge. It's competitive out there, and it always has been, hasn't it? Because, you know, with the past, then I get my past from reading the books and listening to what people have told me. And, you know, can you imagine people now on a Sunday morning, and they've been working for 5.5-6 days a week, on a Sunday morning for a bit of relaxation, they would get together and they would walk round the village and have a look at the ploughing that the people had done during the week before to see who was the straightest. Well, no, you wouldn't. But they were that keen, and I'm sure you look round, and in the past, then these societies would have been made up with people who bred char horses, owned char horses, and so on. Now, I've never done either, but these societies rely upon people who are prepared to put the work in and raise money and support the society to keep the shows and so on going. So I've been happy to do that. So it sort of didn't require any number of years experience or whatever. Wisbeach is the local Char Horse Society, and the local Char Horse Society started off as stallion hiring societies. So therefore, a collection of people got together that wanted to breed Char foals, and let's face it, to breed a foal was sort of to replace the tractor, wasn't it? You know, because it was your replacement that you were breeding, and the smaller people, it wasn't in their interest and wasn't for that, you see. The society would have been set up by a collection of farmers that needed a stallion to cover their mares for that season to produce foals. So then you would have a number of maybe three or four of that particular society. The other members would leave it to them that they would view one or two stallions, two or three stallions, and choose the one that they felt that they liked the best, and then they would hire that stallion from the owner for that particular season. So when that season was finished, the stallion then went back to the chap who owned him, and they might or might not have him again next year if they felt. But there'd be a limit to how many years you would have him, because you wouldn't want him, because he couldn't cover his fillies that he had produced. You know, you kept dodging them about. And again, there was another reason why it's better to have the different stallions, because they're not coming across their own stock. Mm. One or two people that would have a Suffolk or two. You had the big stud at Histon of Chivers. Chivers had Persians, you see, and they would travel their stallions, and you know, probably as a farmer in the village, you would have possibly three or four travelling stallions that you could choose from. And you say, no, I don't want him, and so you would choose the stallion which you favoured the best. And sometimes there are people that would say, well, you know, the first cross is always the best, and I'm sure that it's in the minority, but it has been sort of talk sometimes that maybe the best Persian's got a little bit of Shire in it. because you're talking about pre-DNA days.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, once upon a time they used to take a blood sample and they would then determine whether that was the stallion you say it is and it's mm-hmm. your mare. Mm-hmm. But now they just take a little bit of hair from the foal's mane and they do the same, they do the DNA on that. But of course, to just cause stallion man's coming around, he'd probably come to here to Haddam on a Monday, let's say.
Mm.
Well, if your mare's not in season this Monday, you've got to hope that she's going to hang about and be in season when he comes next Monday.
Mm.
And hope that she doesn't come in season and has gone off before next Monday. So what? So you could lose a lot of time, but present day methods would be that you'd have the vet come and he would give the mare an internal and tell you when she's going to ovulate and say, well, you ought to take her to the stallion, say Thursday or whatever day.
Mm.
May seem a bit more costly, but you save time, and I don't think there is any increase in the cost. The love of the horse, I mean, there is just nothing quite like a shire, is there? And my friends in the Persians and the Suffolk Society would, and quite rightly, they would defend theirs to the hilt. But it's I mean, they're nothing but poetry in motion, and the people you get involved with, that's the attraction, and you follow them on, don't you? And you will see a chap will turn out a very nice yearling or 2-year-old filly, and she'll either take your eye or she won't, but. During the following years, you see her in the show ring, and you see how she's gone on and improved, and so on. So, yeah, it's like watching people grow up, isn't it?